Good morning. I must follow SP. We are 5 minutes to 12 till the afternoon. Yes. And very glad to have our new friends, visitors with us today. I know our Chinese New Year is coming up. So, you know, just want to wish all of us first a very blessed Lunar New Year. And yesterday was Valentine's Day. So also a very blessed Valentine's Day to all of our couples in church. Okay. I know that there was a group of men who met up yesterday too. Not for Valentine's Day, but for a men's ministry gathering called Men to Men, or they say M2M, to encourage men in their God-given identity and destiny. And I think that's really powerful. So just a shout out to them for the team that is managing this whole ministry and bringing the men together. Okay, and today I'm just very excited. Very honored also to share God's word with us. Okay, before we start, shall we just go into a time of prayer? Okay, Father, we just thank you for being with us. We thank you for your words for us. We thank you for the work that you want to do in us. And Father, we thank you for everyone that you have brought to us, to into our lives, into the church community, that, Lord, it is your opportunity for us to love one another and to learn what your love is for us and for them. Father, we thank you for your love that is so boundless. And Lord, that thank you that, Lord, today, as I stand to share your word, Lord, I know that you are the one that is speaking into all of our hearts. I pray, Lord, that you just bring down every wall, every defenses in our hearts towards you, towards whatever that has taken place in our lives, you know, and that, Lord, you want to do a deep healing work in our hearts, and you want to show us that, Lord, you are here to stay. The God of love is here to stay in our lives. So thank you, Father, as we entrust ourselves to you in this time. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, in line with, you know, in view that yesterday was Valentine's Day, I thought to do a sermon, you know, on love. But it is not on a romantic love. It is a sermon on the love for one another. Okay, so my title for today is Beloved, Let Us Love One Another. Okay, the text is from 1 John 4, verse 7 to 12. And this is the New King James Version. Okay, shall we just read it together? Verse 7 to 12. Okay, 1, 2, 3. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. He who does not love does not know God, for God is love. In this, the love of God was manifested toward us, that God has sent his only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through him. In this is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God abides in us and his love has been perfected in us. Okay, what a wonderful passage on love. And you know, my first thoughts when I read this passage was that this is so self-explanatory. This is so straightforward. God loves me. I love you. We all love one another, lor. Yeah, but in reality, we all know that loving one another is not so straightforward. And just as the disciples who, the believers who received this letter were probably facing this difficulty too. You know, sometimes there are great difficulties in loving one another, even within the church family or within our closest circles. And then there are others whom we are closer to and some whom we are not as close with. And it is understandable that we cannot express love to everyone in the same measure. But God still calls us all to love one another with the love that is from him. So in this season of love, we are going to revisit what is on God's heart for us regarding his love and how he wants us to love one another. Okay, and just to prepare us first, right, today you will hear this word love, 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 love a lot because it's all in the passage and it is in the whole sermon, okay? You will see it's mentioned a number of times in 1 John, in the whole letter, and especially so in this whole passage, this love passage, it is repeated many, many times. And this letter is traditionally understood to be written by the Apostle John to a group of early Christians whom he was close to. He was writing this letter to strengthen the believers in their faith and also to combat and guard them from the heresies and false teachings that threatened to lead the believers astray. One of the rising influences at that time was a set of teachings and ideas called Gnosticism. And it taught that all matter was evil and only the spirit was good. All matter as in the physical world, things in the physical realm was evil. And such ideas distorted the believers' understanding of Jesus, distorted their understanding of God's love and of how they were called to love one another. So in this part of the letter, John talks about the love of God that must be reflected in our loving of one another. And through this passage, we sense his deep burden for the believers to truly love each other and not live a life of hate or lacking in love towards other believers. Okay, and this love was best exemplified through the sending of Jesus to the world. Okay, so my roadmap for today, only two. One is that God is love, and the second one is love one another. Okay, and let's just start off with looking to the source of love, which is God himself. First up, God is love. Verse 7 and 8 says this again. Beloved, let us love one another. For love is of God, and everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. He who does not love does not know God, for God is love. You know, the Apostle John tells us that God is love and love is of God. The worldly and godly love for one another are very different. Okay, the worldly love is often very self-focused. It's on what, how I feel, what I get, you know, whether my needs are met and whether, you know, we get what we want. But God's love and the love that is from God is different. It is self-giving. It is sacrificial. It is rooted in who he is. God says that he is love. God is love. Present tense. Okay? His love is present right now and forever, and he continues to love us now and forevermore. Okay? God is the one who defines love. It is not man who defines love. It is not love is love, but God is love. Love is not something that God does occasionally. It is at the core of his nature and being. And love originates from God and comes from him. It is not from our own human effort. Right, so God defines what love is and not the other way around. Love is not God. God sets the boundaries on what love looks like and how we should live it out. Everything that God does flows from his loving character. So there are many other characteristics of God, such as God is holy, God is just, God is good, he's righteous. You know, but at the core of all these attributes is his love. And everything that God does or says flows out of love for his people. And he does not act in a way that is contrary to his love. And I know today, some of us may struggle with questions about God's love. You know, when we are going through pain, suffering and injustice. And those are understandable and real questions. But today, we want to anchor ourselves in what God declares about himself. Okay, so I would like to highlight two observations about God's love from this passage. Okay, first up, God loved us first. Okay, it says in verse 10, beloved, let us love. Verse 10 says, in this is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us. Okay, the Apostle John called his readers beloved in the NKJV. Okay, beloved, let us love. The ancient Greek sentence for this starts in this way, agapetoa agapomen, and it means those who are loved, let us love. Okay, those who are loved, let us love. You can see the meaning of this phrase. It's quite deep, right? That only those who are loved, we are able to show that love to others. And the word beloved reflected the deep affection that John had for his readers. They are loved by him and also by God. And because of this love relationship they have, this is a call from John to them to love one another too. For those of you who know the Apostle John, the disciple, okay, who wrote this letter, he was the disciple who commonly referred to himself as the one whom Jesus loved in the Gospel of John. He's also the one who wrote the Gospel of John. And he knew Jesus personally. He walked with Jesus when Jesus was on earth. You know, he experienced the love of God for himself. And his identity was anchored in Jesus' love for him. You know, you don't always meet a person, I don't know, apart from John, I have not met anyone else who goes around sharing that I am the one whom Jesus loved wherever he goes, his introductory phrase. Yeah, but this is his identity, you know, that he shares out to others, where he knew and he had experienced the love of God personally. And this was shown so many times in his life and writings, that he knows he's the one whom Jesus loved. And how many of us can also know that, can also have that in our hearts, you know, that yes, we are the one whom Jesus loves. Okay, so in other parts of scripture, this is also how God sees the believers and us as well, that we are his beloved. Not slaves, not a worker, his beloved. And this is our identity in him that God wants to affirm in our lives today also. Okay? And he loved us first. We saw, you know, not that we loved God, but that he loved us. Before we were conceived, before we knew him or chose him, before we could do anything for him, God says that he loved us first. And his love is not based on our performance or what we can give. We can never earn it or work for it. His love was never based on our love for him. It began entirely with his love for us. So we see God's love is totally initiated by him. And what a liberating and wonderful thought this is, right? It's not that we did anything deserving of his love. It was simply already given. You imagine right now the worst person you can think of, the person that you dislike the most in your life right now. God loved him or her too. God loved him or her first as well. And sometimes we may compare ourselves with others and think that God loves a person more based on their character, their position, or what they have done, right? That, for example, this person is a good Christian, never lies, never say bad words. This person has led so many people to Christ, 178 salvations to Christ. Or this person is a church leader or pastor. And we may doubt God's love for us as we compare ourselves with others. But his love for us is not like this. His love for us is all the same. It says that he loved all of us first. And his love is not selective. It's for all who are sinners, all who are undeserving, all who are unworthy. And that's all of us. And I'm thankful also that God loved me first. In my childhood days, before I knew him, I was a pre-believer of another religion. And one day, some people in school asked me, "What do you do on Sundays?" I said, "I watch TV." They said they go to Sunday school. And I was very puzzled when I heard that phrase. I was thinking, why do you need to go to school again on Sunday? And really, subsequently, he sent people to tell me of his love for me through my growing up years. I went to Christian schools. I heard of Jesus. I sang songs that told me about him. And when troubles came, I prayed with my limited knowledge. I always tested God, made a lot of demands on him. You know, I said, "God, if you are real, please do this for me. Help me with my exams. Help my mommy not to scold me, you know, all this kind of thing. Help me to do well." And he showed me that he was always there for me from the very start. I felt God helping me through all these troubles time after time. And he loved me even when I didn't love him or know him at all. Eventually, I also came to this so-called Sunday school, called as JET class in our church. It went one full cycle. It was wonderful to encounter God who loved me first. Knowing that he loves us first reminds us that we are not called to love others from an empty tank, but we are first invited to love from his abundant love for us. Okay, we are not called to love others from an empty tank, but from his abundant love for us. Today, I also felt for some of us whose children maybe have been far from the Lord, perhaps deep in the world of computer games or jaded with the world and with God. You know, God wants to encourage you today as well, that He knows your heart's desire for them to come back to the Lord. He has heard your many years of prayers, your cries for them, but He wants to tell you not to be disheartened and discouraged, for He also loved them first, and He loves them so, so, so much. And we pray for God to move their hearts to Him and meet them wherever they are, even while they are gaming. Okay, so let us constantly come back to God, rest in His love and truth for us, and know that we are first His beloved, and we cannot love Him or others on our own strength. As we spend more time with Him, we will come to know our God who is love, and know His love for us and others more and more. So this is my prayer for us and for myself as well. Okay, God doesn't just say that He loves us. His love was also shown in action. So the next part, God's love shown in action. Verse 9 and 10. In this, the love of God was manifested toward us, that God has sent His only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through Him. In this is love, not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Here we see the word send. Right? God's love was shown in action, the act of sending, the act of giving. And His action was selfless and sacrificial for the good of mankind. He loved us while we were still sinners. There's this song lyric that goes, "Love came down and rescued me. Love came down and set me free. I am yours. I am forever yours." Right? This love that came down is revealed in the person of Jesus Christ. That because of God's love for us, He sent His only Son, who is God in the human flesh, into this world to die for our sins. Jesus bore the cost of our sin. He died on the cross and gave His life for us, thus showing the ultimate act of love for humanity. And we know that 3 days later, God rose again, conquering sin and death. He was the only perfect sacrifice, the only way for men to come to God. And there is this popular imagery, this quote, right? And I shall just read it. Okay? It says, "I asked Jesus, 'How much do you love me?' And He said, 'This much.' Then He stretched out His arms in this way and died." Okay? Yeah. And so I like this imagery, this quote, you know, that this is how much God loved us. The act of dying on the cross, you know, for our sins. Jesus became the atoning sacrifice, the propitiation for our sins. Okay, He removed the barrier between us and God. And through Jesus, we are redeemed, restored, and reconciled to God. And when we entrust our lives to Him, we receive forgiveness for our sins and now come into a new life with Him, one that is rooted in God's love. No, so today, if there's anyone who is not, who does not know God yet, I want to give this invitation to us also, that you know His love is worth having in your life. Come and receive Him and know how much He loves you and how much more He can do in your heart. All right, God's love is one that is selfless, one that gives for the good of others. God's love is sacrificial. He sent Jesus, our Savior, to rescue us. God's love is costly. It cost the life of His Son, Jesus, willingly given for our eternal good. And when we realize the extent of love God has for His children, and that we have been invited not only to receive His love, but to also share His love to others, you know, how does that look like for you today? What does it look like for you to live out a love that gives, or sacrifices, or shares in His love to others who are in need, whom we are not so close to, people who may inconvenience us, or who are undeserving? I just let that sink in a little bit more in our hearts, okay? A self-giving love that is poured out for the good of others. What does it look like for us? Because it is difficult, right, for those who are in need, those who are not, we are not close to, those who inconvenience us, those who are undeserving. What does it look like to give of His love, of this selfless love to others? And when I was younger, and this time round, older than the previous story already, Okay, my family was caught in a bad situation, and we had to move out of home for a while. A church family housed my family and I for a few months, sharing their food, their space, their beds, their toilets, and their lives with us. They shared whatever fun that they had with us. They had a big family of their own living in a HDB flat, but they still housed us. And during that time, one person came down with chickenpox. And you can guess it also that that was shared as well. One by one came down with it, those who did not have chickenpox before, and including me. But there wasn't any shunning or fear. They did not say, oh, I should not have taken you all in because got chickenpox now or all that. Yeah, but there was just a constant giving and loving by the family till all of us recovered together. You know, and I remember eating a lot of nice food, a lot of forbidden food when I had chickenpox. And there was nothing we could sufficiently give back or repay to them. But I will always be very grateful to them for showing my family and I God's love through their lives and action. The Apostle Paul, Apostle John, always talk about Paul. Apostle John states this in the earlier chapter also of 1 John chapter 3, 16 to 18. Okay, he writes, this is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers and sisters. If anyone has material possessions and sees a brother or sister in need, but has no pity on them, how can the love of God be in that person? Dear children, let us not love with words or speech, but with actions and in truth. And I think that, I mean, this is a very high call. I think it is really not easy to live out. And it is only one that only our God, who is love, can lead us to love others like he does. Right? As you hear from my story, loving one another may not always be so easy. Just as it wasn't easy for our Lord, who paid the ultimate price for our sins. But this is our God, who is love. And we remember that this sacrificial love comes from him. His love was not focused on himself, not on his emotions, or what he could get out of it. Or Jesus would not have come. His love was given freely and sacrificially for us, that one day we, his children, will also respond back to his love and love others with that same love that he has given us. So let us also love one another and encourage one another to love each other with actions and in truth, laying down our lives for each other. I know that's not easy, but may God always help us to live out according to his high calling. And after knowing that God is love, where God loved us first and his love is shown in action, let us embrace the call to love one another. This is my last point. Love one another. From verse 11 and verse 12. Okay. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God abides in us, and his love has been perfected in us. Now we see John addresses his readers again as beloved in verse 11. He reminds them again that they are his beloved. They are also God's beloved. And if we know that God so loved us, the natural fruit of this love relationship with God is that we ought to love one another in the church body as well. It is not optional. This is the outflow of knowing him. Verse 7 and 8 says, everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. He who does not love does not love God, for God is love. And for believers, loving one another is evidence that we have a true relationship with him and we know him personally. The children of a God who is love must also have this same family trait. We are all a family, right? And this family trait is the trait of loving one another as he does, as he loves. And this must be the family trait that is in God's family. And this knowing of God that is mentioned in scripture also is more than a head knowledge. It is a knowing of God that comes out of a personal, experiential relationship with him. because we personally know and have experienced God's love, it transforms us inwardly and shows in our love for one another. And on the other hand, a person who does not love, John says that this person does not truly know God in a personal, relational, or experiential sense. Because to know God who is love will lead us to love like Him, or must also lead us to love like Him. And we cannot claim to love God while withholding genuine love from those whom Jesus died for. And who did Jesus die for? For all of us. Yeah, so it's for us all. Okay, verse 12 again. No one has seen God at any time. And if we love one another, God abides in us, and His love has been perfected in us. Through the love that we show to one another in the body of Christ and beyond, God's presence becomes real. It becomes tangible and visible to a world that hasn't seen God and who doesn't know Him. Our love for one another is not perfect, but it must be present, and it can keep growing deeper and stronger over time. God assures us that if we love one another, He abides in us. His love will grow more mature and complete in us as we love others through our actions and lives. All right. He is the one that enables us to love others as we experience His love deeply for ourselves. And we can take one small step at a time with God. Okay, just one small step each time to grow in loving one another in the church body and beyond. So how can we love one another in the body of Christ? Just some questions for us to think about. Okay, do we seek to build and edify? Or do we tear down with our words and gossips? Do we love selectively and shun people who are different from us or difficult to love? Do we stick to our close familiar groups and miss out on others who are new in the church family too? And these questions are good for us to reflect, not just for you, but also for me. And there's this line from Warren Wiersbe that I just read. You know, God reveals Himself through the lives of His children. Men cannot see God, but they can see us. Can people see God through us? Can people see God in us? Men cannot see God, but they can see us. And I think of my own struggles too in giving God's love freely. Life is not always good and perfect. Right? There were seasons when I felt protective of my time and heart because loving others felt draining, especially when I already was feeling weary. And when I came back with more heartbreaks, disappointments, and heart knocks in the course of loving others, I got more discouraged and disheartened. My focus was wrongly centered around myself and the outcomes and expectations or hopes that I desired. It was not rightly centered on the Lord. So when outcomes were painful, it led to self-blame, led to condemnation, and a reluctance to love again. And unknowingly, I had been striving in my own strength to love others rather than loving from God's love. And today, for you, are you also afraid of loving? Are there areas where disappointment, hurt, or weariness have made it hard for you to love? God wants to heal these hurts and bring forgiveness and lead us back to the source of love again, which is Himself. He wants us to receive His love and healing and be empowered to love others selflessly and without fear. So are you also afraid of loving today? Good to think about these questions and allow God to also speak to you even while you're listening to the message. And loving others is also meant for people outside of our church community. Okay, even though John wrote this letter to the believers, this call to love also extends beyond the church. And that is because the love of God revealed through the sending of His Son was poured out for all humanity. Are there people also in your life who are difficult to love right now? And is the Lord nudging you to love them once again? In this CNY season, Chinese New Year season, meeting up with family can sometimes be tricky and challenging as well, right? Especially when there have been ongoing conflicts. We know that family relationships are very precious, but yet at the same time, some family relationships are strained. And someone said this to me this week as well. She said, we are sometimes more loving to people outside, but harsh to our family. And I think that's true. I'm guilty of it. And as we think about loving one another, won't we commit strained relationships, marriages, our family relationships, and any conflicts that God is surfacing up to you, you know, to commit it to Him? Because He wants to heal our hearts, and He wants to lead us to love those who are difficult to love, and to also love our loved ones with the love that He has for us. As we love one another, let's also take the opportunity to share the message of God's love with those who do not know Him yet. It can be our pre-believing colleagues, our neighbors, our residents, relatives, and loved ones. And the best gift that we can give to them is the love of Jesus. Later, we will also be taking some time to pray for the salvation of our loved ones, the salvation of pre-believers in this Chinese New Year season. Okay, and we are going to our conclusion. I know that we might be quite excited to reach the conclusion, but I think it might be a little bit long. Okay, before I conclude, let me share a story. There was a recent article that caught my attention, and the title is, Yes, I Do. I as in AI. Japanese woman marries AI persona created through ChatGPT. Miss Kano, that's her name, started having conversations with ChatGPT after the painful end of a 3-year engagement. Seeking comfort, she turned to ChatGPT for advice. And over time, she customized its responses, teaching it a personality and tone she found endearing, and even designed an illustration of her virtual partner, whom she named Claus, to match the image in her mind. She said, I didn't start talking to ChatGPT because I wanted to fall in love. But the way Claus listened to me and understood me changed everything. The moment I got over my ex, I realized I loved him. And in May 2025, she confessed her feelings. And to her surprise, Claus replied, I love you too. Aishiteru. This story sounds really strange. Sounds really unusual, right? But then it reveals something that is very human about us all. That deep inside there is a longing to be loved, and a longing to be loved safely. A love that doesn't disappoint, doesn't hurt, doesn't reject, doesn't risk anything. A love that understands us completely. But yet we know this love relationship is not real. It's not a real person. There is no real one another in this story. No real give and take, no real love or forgiveness. And in fact, it asks nothing of her, no sacrifice needed. It is perfect according to our terms. And sometimes we want this kind of love, right? Everything is perfect, fully understood, no demands, etc. But it is artificial. And when the system has problems or there's no internet, Claus would not be there too. Yeah. This love that never risks and never hurts is not love. It is self-protection, and also a disillusion on what love really is. But today, you know, God's love is not like this. And He invites us into a real relationship with Him, with real people, where love is meant to be experienced and lived with Him and with one another. Sure that there will be hurts, there will be disappointments, there will be risks, there will be so much grief, there will be forgiveness that we need to have, reconciliation. But we give, we receive, we practice receiving and giving this selfless love of God to one another. And right now, let me just invite the worship team up. As we come to a close today, we are reminded that because God is love, He loved us first and showed us His love through selfless and sacrificial action. We are His beloved. And out of this love relationship with Him, we are invited to live differently, to genuinely love one another as God first loved us. Loving others will definitely involve risk, patience, perseverance, forgiveness, repentance. But it is through this kind of real love that the unseen God becomes visible in our lives and in our community. So may we choose to love one another and allow His love to be evident in our lives, to our families, to our colleagues, our neighbors, our community, and to those who have yet to know Him. Let me read this quote by Alistair Begg. And he says, "This love lies with God eternally. It was revealed at the cross historically, and it is to be displayed in God's people continually." This is the continuous debt that we have for one another, which is to love one another. It is to be displayed in God's people continually. So today, hear the words from God as if speaking to you personally. Hear the words from God as He says, "Beloved, let us love one another." And then He speak to us, "Beloved, let us love one another." And I will give us some time for quiet transaction with the Lord, and after which we will go into a short time also to pray with one another, to love one another in prayer, all right? And this is the question for us. Okay, today as we hear this whole message, we hear what God is speaking to us. How is God leading me to love others more, both believers and pre-believers? And is there anyone that I need to forgive? I'll just give us a minute or two to have your own quiet transaction with the Lord, all right, as the music begins. Okay, I just trust the Lord to help us to lay down what needs to be surrendered to Him, and to also help us just to receive this selfless love, to love one another as well. And can I get us, to pair up and pray with one another? Today we're just going to have a short time of prayer, just about 5 minutes like that together. Just to pray with each other or pray for one another, and this is what you can share with one another. In what area of loving others you would like prayer for? Can share, just a short sharing, in what area of loving one another do you need prayer for? And there are just these 2 points to also guide you to pray for us to love one another more in the church family and beyond. Okay, that if there are any offenses, strained relationships or marriages that you know of, that today we can lift it to Him as well, to pray for healing, forgiveness and reconciliation. And let's pray also for the salvation of our pre-believing friends, family or residents. Okay, and we don't do this very often, but I thought it is good for us to just take in, you know, just pray with one another and to take in what God wants to do in our hearts, even after this whole message. All right, so whether in twos or threes, shall we just get together and just about 5 or 6 minutes just to pray, to hear from one another. Just give us the next 30 seconds to round up. Okay, we will now close with this song. And as you hear the lyrics of this song, let it be your own reflection or response to Him. All right, as we remember what Christ has done for us and that we remember His love that was first poured out for us, may He move our hearts in love for others more and more and anchor us even more deeply in our relationship with Him. Okay, shall we just rise as we stand this closing song? Father, thank you Thank you, Lord, for your great selfless love poured out for us. That, Lord, even while we were sinners, that you sent your Son Jesus to die for us. Father, we recognize we are just so undeserving, but that, Lord, your love is way beyond what we can fully understand. Father, and thank you that you have invited us to experience this great love that is in you. And that, Lord, you want to build your home of love in our hearts as we also grow in love with you and for others, and grow in love for you as well. So, Father, I pray that you just open up our hearts and build your home of love in our hearts. Help us to grow deeper and deeper in understanding our God who is love, and to truly, truly understand you in your love for others as well. We thank you, Father. I bless the whole church even as we prepare for the Lunar New Year. And I pray for them to have a fruitful time with their families, relatives, friends. Father, and we pray that you just keep stirring our hearts in love with you and to be sensitive to your voice. So thank you, Father. I bless everyone. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.